ask this in your name. Amen. We'll remind you, next Sunday, we will be right back here again at 11 a.m., ready to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And I'm looking forward to that. That is truly the highest holy day for Christians. Christmas is okay, but if the babe in the manger had not grown up and been crucified and resurrected, the story would have no meaning. All right, we're going to get ready here. We'll record. Let me know when that's ready for the audio. And we're going to go into the Word this morning. I hope that if you're sitting there listening to me right now, wherever you're at, if possible, unless you're driving down the road, don't do this. Otherwise, I hope you'll grab your Bible or grab your Bible app on your phone. The title of the message this morning is Enter the King. Palm Sunday. What a story. Go with me to John chapter 12, verses 1 through 16, and if you'll go ahead and change the slides up there. You might be able to see this a little bit. Just hit the Enter key on the keyboard. There we go. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. And it says, 6 days before Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. Let me just tell you a little bit about that perfume. First of all, the perfume was very expensive, and oftentimes what these ladies kept this in, the alabaster box was also very expensive, and what most of these ladies had this for, their father and mother had given it to them at some point when they were young, and it really was to be part of their dowry when they got married. They took something into the marriage of great value. Verse 3, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard and expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't the perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. This is not the gist of the message, but I just want to say to you, if you're out there listening, and maybe I even say this to some of my fellow pastors that are watching this, if you object to people's acts of generosity during this coronavirus time, you're exhibiting a little bit of a Judas mindset. Don't do that. The church needs to rise up and be as generous as we possibly can during this time. And let's make sure that our fellow man is taken care of. Verse 7, leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there, and they came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. So they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. That word Hosanna in the Old Testament was a Hebrew phrase that meant save us now. Today, this Palm Sunday, I believe that's a very appropriate thing for the church to be crying out, Hosanna, Lord, save us now. It also began to be used in New Testament times, beginning here and on to our day, as an exclamation of praise. And when we use it that way also. Here's the key verses, though, verses 14 and 15. It says, Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. This is out of the book of Zechariah. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. That's another word for Jerusalem and Israel. It says, see, your king is coming, seated on the donkey's colt. Let me give you a little bit of the history of what Jesus was doing when he rode in that day on that donkey. In those times, in the times we call the early New Testament times and the Old Testament times, when a king had conquered a city or a nation, he would ride into that city as the new conquering king, but the people waited with bated breath to see how is he going to enter. If he entered on a donkey, just as Jesus did here, the message was, I come to you as a king of peace. I'm going to come in and I want to be your benevolent king. I want to make things better for you. I want peace between you and me. That very day, Jesus proclaimed himself to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and King of Peace, a king who wanted to bring salvation, a king who wanted to make things better for mankind. And the only way he was going to be able to do that, he knew, was to go to the cross and give his life, lie in the tomb for 3 days and be resurrected. Friends, today we still live within this realm of Jesus coming to us as a King of Peace. Jesus does not want to cramp your style. Jesus is not out to ruin your life. He's out to make your life better. He wants to be the King of Peace. So this Palm Sunday, this day where we celebrate and recognize the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, open the doors and the gates of your heart and let Jesus come in and be your King of Peace today. I tell you, when this whole virus thing started, I'll be very transparent with you. I battled with doubt, anxiety, worry, and fear for a few days. But then I began to realize, as the Holy Spirit dealt with me, that we cannot afford to be people living in fear. We need to be people living in faith. That doesn't mean that we don't take precautions. It doesn't mean that we don't do things wise, but we don't do them out of fear. We do them out of faith, understanding that God is still in control and has given us the common sense to do things in a wise manner. I want to encourage you that you take advantage of this time of Jesus entering as the King of Peace. Because as we go to Revelation chapter 19, it can change his life. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. I believe we're growing closer to this time more and more each day. But I will not stand here and tell you that I know when Jesus is coming back. And anybody who does is going against the word of God. The word says that no man knows the day nor the hour. The best we can do is to know the season. Are we in that season? Yes, we are. How long will it last? Only God knows. But the next time that Jesus enters this world as a king, here's what it's going to be like. Revelation chapter 19, beginning of verse 11, John says, I saw heaven standing open. And there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now I said when the conquering king rode in on the donkey, he came in saying to the people by his actions, I come in peace. And that's still what we're living under. Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem that day, proclaiming to them and to us, I come as a King of Peace. I come wanting to improve your life by giving you a way back into a right relationship with the Father. But folks, there's going to soon come a day when it will be too late to accept that offer. Because you see, in that day and time when the king rode in on the white stallion or any color of stallion, on a mighty, powerful horse, his message was, I come as the conquering king, and I'm going to lay down the law, and you will obey me, or you will die. It's exactly what we see here. There's going to come a day when Jesus will come down mounted on that white horse. The armies of heaven will be behind him, dressed in fine, white, clean linen that shows their purity that they have now obtained. And they will follow Jesus into the great valley, where he will, once and for all, eliminate his enemies into the king, powerful, mighty, ready to do war. I don't know about you, but I'd rather open my heart night to day and let the King of Peace come in rather than to never have to face the King who comes to make war upon his enemies. So what do we need to be doing? We're in this time that started with what we read back here in John. And we're not yet quite to what he saw then recorded in the book of Revelation. So what are we to do? How are we to behave? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, and I read it out of the King James Version, mainly because I like the way it words it just a little bit better. The writer to the Hebrews says here in Hebrews 9, 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now here it is. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. There has been so much said about this virus, about why it has come at this time. What is its purpose? I've got fellow pastors out there saying, no, this virus is not of God, because God is a God of love, and God is a God of mercy, and God is a God of peace. And they're right, he is. And others are out there just going off half-crazed about, oh, it's nothing but the judgment of God, and he's calling down judgment on this, and it's going to get worse. Folks, let me tell you something. This virus came about with God's knowledge and with God's permission. Can we say that it is equivalent to some of the plagues of the Old Testament that he brought on his people? Well, in some ways, yes, and possibly in other ways, no. But this one thing I will tell you is that every pastor, every minister, and every person who is a member of a church, and every person who calls themselves a Christian needs to realize that this is a wake-up call and that we need to reevaluate our lives. And there are some things that we have going on in our churches and in our lives and we want to need to be a part of it. Saw this great little thing. And some of you watching and don't watch all the time wonder if I'm struggling up here. It's because I'm not used to standing in this one place and not moving around when I preach. In fact, I'm going to move around. I want to share this with you. I saw this great little quote. It said, learn to play chess, the game of chess, without your queen. Master the game without your best piece, and then add that piece back in and see how easy the game really becomes and how much better you are. And for many of us that are in ministry, especially pastors, our Sunday morning service with the people gathering in the building, that has been our queen. That has been, we felt, our best piece. The time has come now for us to learn how to share the gospel and how to minister without that in place for a while. So that when we are able to open the doors of our buildings again, and the people are able to come and sit in these chairs and in the pews of our buildings, we will be better than we were, and we'll not go back to doing what we always did the same old way. Yes, I think I just heard a couple amens out there in the silent world. Thank you. Unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time. What does that mean for us to be looking for him? Number one, we need to get our priorities straight. We need to make sure that our focus is on him. And I think I'm going to have to change mics as we do that.
and you hear me back there. Sorry about that. Batteries go dead at the most inopportune times. What does it mean to be looking for Him? Well, first of all, it means that we understand everything in this world is temporary. I think we're learning that right now. It's amazing the things that have been taken away from us that we don't like it, but let's be honest, for most it's a mild inconvenience. We can get along fine without professional sports on the television. We can get along fine without hearing celebrities on TV shows accepting awards or telling us what they think. So many things that have been taken away from us, we're finding out that yes, it's an inconvenience, but they're not a necessity. I'm hoping and praying that as we do this, as we look at those things, that we will really begin to look. Him. Amen? And finally, we'll go to Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 28. Jesus is talking here about what to expect as we draw near the end of time for His second coming, when He takes His bride out of here. He says, there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, dismay among the nations, bewildered by the roaring of the sea and the surging of the waves. Look at verse 26. Now it says men, but it means people. Men will faint from fear and anxiety over what is coming upon the earth. I want that to soak in a minute. Jesus said that good people who are not looking for Him, who are not truly sold out to Him, they will faint from fear and anxiety over what's coming up on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud, the power of great glory. Verse 28, here's the key. When these things begin to happen, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Folks, these things are beginning to happen. It's time. It's not time to go crawl in a hole and hide. It's time to stand up. It's time for the body of Christ to realize God did not put us here to be a social club. He did not put us here to be a country club. He did not put us here to be a museum of saints. He put us here to be His hands extended, to be His feet, and to be His army to battle against the principalities in this world. Stand up. Lift up your heads. Years ago, I knew a gentleman that he worked in a school where there were two groups, very distinct groups of people that sent their students to that school. A lot of people would try to lump those two groups of people together and just call them under one title. I'm not even going to use terminology to tip this off. But in all honesty, some of them came from one particular location. The others came from a different location, not very far away. And even though they lived in close proximity to each other geographically, they were two very distinct groups of people. And this gentleman said, in the years he worked there, he could tell which group, could watch a person and tell you which group they were from. Because one group, their leadership and their parents and their families encouraged them to be proud. He said they'd walk down the hallways of this facility with their heads held high, and they would walk with pride. And he said he could pick the ones out from the other place because they were always told about how poor they were, how downtrodden they were. And he said they walked like with their heads down and they shuffled along all the time. Friends, today is not the day. Now is not the time for the body of Christ to walk around with our heads lowered, shuffling along. We need to lift our heads up high, be proud of the fact that Jesus did what He did for us, and let the King of Peace reign and rule in our lives, and begin to look up, because our redemption is drawing nearer. You see, the coronavirus and COVID-19 are temporary. There will be a time in the next few weeks, or the next few months, where we will look back on this and we'll say, praise God, I survived it. I'm sorry for those that passed on, but you know, every believer that gets this and passes on is really the ones that I'm kind of jealous of, because that means they're in the presence of Christ sooner than the rest of us. But we'll look back on this and we'll say, wow, it passed. But my friend, the one thing that we need to be taking care of is eternity. Friend, today, if you're watching this and you have not asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins, and you're not walking in obedience to Him, you're not walking in a love relationship with Him, today, let me encourage you. Open the doors of your heart and let the King of Peace enter in.